Everybody seen Steven and Samantha?
What's that? Well, okay. All right, well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians chapter 9. Now the very first verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is labeled 1.
Wow.
Mine does not have
actually, mine does not have
no.
Yeah, me neither.
To be honest with you, either's mine. All right, there we go.
Now we caught you in a lie.
Yeah, there we go. That's probably Stephen and Samantha right there.
I don't think so.
Well,
if you look, none of, that number 10 doesn't either.
By the way, Timothy, I sent a text to Samantha, told her you maybe Timothy would be alone next week again.
No one key for chapter 10 either.
All right. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, am I not an apostle? Now, that's obviously a pretty foolish statement in the sense that, but he's going to try to reason with his people. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? So he's going to reason with them from that basis. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtlessly I am to you. There, Stephen and Samantha, right? I just asked about you and you guys drove in. Yes. And Samantha, you got my note that maybe Timothy would be alone next week again.
I did, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
She fed him when we were gone. Yes. Randy and Sam each have jobs, you know, so they go out and get food. Timothy's the poor college student, aww, so she felt bad and fed him. Yeah.
He's so smart, why is he hungry?
Yeah.
A good question!
All right. So it says, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. And, you know, when it comes down to it again, and this is the thing, you know, McVeigh's handing the book out right and left and such, and I've had a few different people call and ask for it, and but it goes back to this old-fashioned thing of, it used to be that preachers had converts. It's what you did. You went out there and you found people and you converted them unto Jesus Christ. You went and found families out in the community that didn't know about this life in Christ Jesus. And you went out there and you worked with them and brought them into the house of God where they begin to struggle with the other Christians and try to implement these things into their lives and fall in love with the songs of Zion and begin to train their children in these ways and begin to struggle with this, how to apply Jesus Christ to their lives. And it's just a skill that's just lost in America, getting people to want to do that. And yet the Apostle Paul said that was his seal in the ministry, was those people. And, it wasn't the degree he has. It's not him being ordained. It's not, you know, titles that he has. His seal is the fact that you folks are now in Christ. You folks are now established here. He goes on, he says, yet doubtless I am unto you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Verse 3, mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Now keep in mind, what are they examining him about? Well, earlier in there, he gave the Corinthians a hard time, okay? And then they actually said, well, when he's with us, he's so meek and mild, and yet, you know, look at these words he wrote, they're so awful. I think about Ron Williams with that. Ron Williams came amongst us from Hepzibah House. Everybody said, now that's the way to preach. He's so gentle and all that. And then they read his pamphlets. Ah!
That's right, yeah.
Look what he's written here. So have we not power to eat and drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles? And as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas. What's he saying there? Don't I have the power to get married if I want to get married and lead about a sister, a wife? Can I do that as the other apostles? So if you're ever, for example, dealing with a Roman Catholic who thinks that priests and such shouldn't get married, here's a good verse for them. Okay. Just showing that, yes, it is a power that, you know, that God gave to the men of God. Paul chose not to use it, all right? But it is a power that they have. If you notice, Paul was never the bishop of a church. He was an apostle.
That's right.
The qualifications are different. All right. Verse 6, are I only in Barnabas? Have not we power to forbear working? Now it's interesting because at this point, if you remember, Barnabas and Paul had this sharp disagreement where they split from each other. And there are preachers say, well, from that point on, you never hear about Barnabas again. Well, Paul's talking about him right here in a positive manner. Okay? There's some people you can't work with. Just basically, you can't work with them.
That's right.
Does that mean they're evil people? No, other people can work with them. You just can't. For whatever reason, you can't work with them. And you know what? The best thing you do is realize, hey, I can't work with you. You know, we just don't work well together. It's not going to work. Once in a while, we can cooperate or whatever else, but we just, it's not going to work in the long run. Are I only in Barnabas? Have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time in his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard needeth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? So he's getting into the very heart of how the ministry is supposed to be run and the churches and how God intended to feed the man of God. Now, one of the things with Paul is you're going to find he didn't use that. One of the vows he made is he would never take money from the Gentiles he went to. This is why in 3 John, it actually talks about this idea. John writes to Gaius. Who was Gaius? Paul's host in Rome. Okay? And he's commending Gaius, and I'm glad my children walk in the truth, but they're talking about Paul, how they take nothing of the Gentiles and such. And, you know, that's why whenever you read about this thing that 3 John's written way in 90 AD, no, that's just Catholic fables. 3 John's written right in the midst of all that other stuff. All right? And it's being written about that. So Paul, that's just one of the things he vowed, is I'll go out there and work amongst the Gentiles. Well, by golly, there we go. One of the best people in the world, and their mate. All right. Sharon, is that guy still following you around? All right.
Reserved parking, that was for us because we're late, right?
Oh, yes. Very good. All right, we're in 1 Corinthians 9. I'm glad you're feeling better, Sharon. You're not, huh? Well, good. Sit next to Jennifer. Breathe at her.
You just sit next to your wife, though.
Well,
please do.
All right. So back to this thing again. Who go to warfare of their own charges? Nobody does. You pay soldiers. All right? Who planteth a vineyard needeth not of the fruit thereof? Anybody that plants a vineyard eat the fruit of it. Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Obviously, God does take care for oxen, but that isn't, Paul's just saying, there's a bigger purpose behind what he wrote than just how to treat your ox. You take that, if that's good for the ox, shouldn't it be good for your own people? All right? Shouldn't it be good for your own kids? Ruth Ann and I, we always kid, if there's a kid helping her to cook, they can nibble. Right? You don't muzzle the ox, you know, that treadeth out the corn. And, you know, Trevor helps make cookies. He gets to eat some of the cookies, all right? No, she says. Yes.
She muzzles it.
And if Mama makes frosting, somebody gets to lick the bowl up.
You want me to make one for you?
All right. In other words, under the Jewish law, if you had an ox, and think of this, you know, you've seen those pictures of them walking around, making a millstone, grinding and such. And there he is. And, you know, he's working all day long. And he can smell that fresh grain being crushed and everything. And you've got him muzzled and he can't eat of it. And God said, no, you won't do that. You will not do that to that ox. You'll put it on there where he can go ahead and, you know, and he can eat when he wants and dip into where he wants. And if you're not going to, don't use the ox for it. That's just God's law. Yeah. All right, and then Paul says, well, did God write that because he cares for oxen? Well, there was a bigger purpose. And he's trying to show you the bigger purpose.
Why doesn't he just bring up the fact that the Levites got their portion?
And he actually will later. He will a little bit go into that. But he's going down to the basic roots of the justice of this thing. Verse 10, or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing that we shall reap your carnal things? And of course the answer is no, it's not a great thing. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. So, Paul's thing is, I have the power to do this. I could come in here, and I could eat of your table, and I could eat of the things that you have, but I have chosen not to do this. If you go go back to Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 33. Here's Paul. He's getting ready to leave the people in Ephesus. He's getting ready to go back to Jerusalem. And he says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. And, you know, woe unto the pastor that does. Comes into the house of God, begins to covet what other people have and such. Be an awful snare. Oh, yeah. I mean, it'd just be a terrible snare. And then he says, yea, ye yourselves know that these hands, and I imagine him actually showing his hands when he said it, have ministered unto my necessities and them that were with me. So when I came amongst you, not only did these hands take care of myself, I took care of some of you with these hands while I ministered there. You know, I think of Ruth Ann and Pastor Randall with that. How many people in his church did he pay their bills and pay a mortgage when they're getting ready to get kicked out of the house and all that kind of stuff and just a gift God gave him, and he did it well. Then he says, verse 35, I have showed you all things that so labor, and you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. Okay, so that was just something that Paul vowed to himself. This is how I am going to handle this ministry amongst the Gentiles. And again, 3 John deals with that very issue, how that he went out taking nothing to the Gentiles. And the funny thing is, he raised big money, but never for himself. You know, he was out there constantly bugging those people, give money, tell them God will take care of you and everything else, but none of it was for himself. All right, goes on and he says this. Verse 12, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Verse 13, do you not know that they which minister about holy things, this is what you were talking about, Tanya, live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. God ordained that. That's what he wants. Right? It's really what you're building with Liberty Behind Bars. At some point, we hope it'll come to a point where you can eat of it. I personally like your goal that you'd like to spend 30 years and see if maybe somehow one family could absolutely have their entire lives turned yes, around right. and changed. And you know what? What a goal. Yeah. You know? What a goal. Yes, sir. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of defeats and everything else in between, but it's no shame if you take of the and of eat of the proceeds as they go through. Then he goes on and he says this, verse 15, but I have used none of these things, neither have I written those things that it should be so done unto me, for it were better for me to die than any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, I want to go back to Luke chapter 17, and I want to show you where he's going to be coming from. verse 5. Luke 17, verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Okay. Now, Paul said in Romans 12, 3, he said, for every man is given that measure of faith. Okay. God's measured out. Right now, Tanya, you have a measure of faith. God chastens you over it, works you over, all this kind of stuff. But basically, you understand, I'm to come to the house of God, I'm to raise these two boys, I'm to do these things here. There's other visions you have that may or may not be valid of what God would do you in the future. But right now, you know, these are the things. Minimum, you must do them. You know you can't get away without doing anything else. That's that measure of faith the Lord's given you. Men of God, God gives them a measure of faith. It's interesting, when I was over in Cambodia, I was talking to a couple of veteran Filipino missionaries, very familiar with the Philippines and with Cambodia and everything else. We were talking about modern American missionaries, and one just said this. He said, well, frankly, I don't know. He said, it's been years since I've seen one stick. In other words, they go over there, they spend 6 months, a year, year and a half, and they blow out of there. You want to know why? They don't have a measure of faith. They're just following some prescription, but bottom line, God never put it in their bowels. He never settled it inside of them in such a way that they would stick there no matter what. And without that measure of faith, you're not going to go anywhere.
Well, it's kind of like the same thing. Bob DeWitt showed a picture of this couple and their four kids that are going over to Burma.
Davis's, yeah.
And how, you know, they were going over and they were going to start a ministry. And I told him, I said, as long as they care half as much for the Burmese people as you do, they'll find a way.
That's a good statement. I'd like to think Tim Davis could make it. He's got a book in there I just read with a couple of outstanding chapters. The really outstanding chapters, and I'd like to think he could make it. But it goes back to this thing again, Brother McVeigh right now. You know, he thought he would take over the church that he's home church, and they have said, nope, they're not going to do that. And it really is, they have not rejected thee, but they've rejected me.
That's right.
It really is. If there was ever a case of that, where they're blind to what's really needed, and it's killing him because he sees the spiritual need in some of these people that other pastors are just blind to. They just don't see what's going on and such. But I told him, I said, what God's doing with you right now is he's building a measure of faith in you. When you do become a pastor, there's going to be things that no one, they can take crowbars, guns, whatever, they'll never get you off of certain things. You're just settled on it. It's done. You won't care who's against you. That's where I told him, I said, I just have to have a thick skin to do what I do. And it's where he said, well, I have to have a thick skin just to be your friend. And he meant that. Just because, yeah, I mean, he gets persecuted over being my friend. There are people who give him a hard time over that.
See, that's where he needs a little of his weight back so he looks tough.
Yeah. All right. No, she would. Yes. Yeah. All right. So, the thing is, they say to the Lord, increase our faith. Now, verse 6. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you should say unto the sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and thou shalt be planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, can you imagine having that kind of faith where you could tell a tree, be plucked up by the root and go over here, and it goes?
You'd abuse it.
Well, yeah, Dale said you'd abuse it. You know why there's no record of anyone ever having that kind of faith? Because God's never needed to move a tree.
Or a mountain.
Or a mountain. But if God needed to do it, yeah, he'd give a man the faith.
That's it.
Okay?
Yes,
that man would have it. And he wouldn't know he has it right away. It would be built through many trials and awful things in his life going on. Yeah. Until such time comes as he knows he can move that mountain.
Okay? Can you imagine the kind of meetings he'd have to go through?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, the thing is... What... Go ahead.
He's also parted the Red Sea.
What's that now?
He's already parted the Red Sea.
That's right. He's parted the Red Sea because it needed to be done. Therefore, it got done. That's right. Okay. If God wants something done, he'll take a man and he'll give him that measure of faith. And it's not like the man will just wake up, oh, I can do this thing. No. It'll take a lot for him to be trained to understand he can do that thing. He'll go through things that'll absolutely break him in half, all right? He'll go through things that'll drag him down to levels he's never been before.
Well, I mean, there's Job.
Yeah, there's Job, all right? That's a good example of that. All right. All right, verse 7. Right. You need this, verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the meat, go and sit down to meat? Now, this is hard for us to get this grasp of a servant, okay? I'm reading a book now, a biography of Winston Churchill. It's just talking to him being 30 years old and such. He's got 5 house servants, okay? And, you know, you can imagine you have 5 servants in your house taking care of things and everything else, so your wife can go do this and go do that or whatever. And, you know, but servants in those days, the difference just in the social strata and such. Oh, yeah. I mean, they came into your house and they might have a half day off every week and, you know, get up early in the morning and work till night and such. Glad to have it. And, you know, nobody ever said to them, oh, you hungry? Do you want some food? Didn't even think about it. You know, they're just the rich live their lives and these are just people out there. They're like furniture and such. And,
one of the stories from the Plantagenet Kings that I'm reading about was talking about that they'd have one day a month that was theirs.
Okay, and what's that from?
Plantagenet Kings from
England. Okay, Plantagenet. So, yeah, that's, yep. All right, so, yeah, the servants had one day a month off. And that's just the way it was. And so Jesus Christ says, which one of you, having a servant, he's out laboring you in the field all day long, would come and say, oh, sit down now and eat. No, he didn't do that to a servant, okay? He's lucky to have the job. You go somewhere else, somebody else will take the job. He'll grovel at your feet for that job. Verse 8, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. So you come in from the field, you've been working all day, and then you tell the schlep, hey, go get yourself together and feed me. All right? Take care of me. And when I'm all done and I've fed, all right, you can get something to eat yourself. That's just how it was. Okay? Verse 9, doth he thank the servant because he did these things that were commanded him? He says, I trow not. Okay? It's just what you're supposed to do. It's your job. Not getting thanked for that. All right? It's just your job. It's what you're supposed to do. And then he goes on and says, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. That's what Paul's saying in 1 Corinthians 9. Okay, the gospel's been laid upon me. Woe unto me if I don't do it. Okay, there's no reward to Paul for preaching the gospel. I have no reward for being the pastor of the Black Creek Baptist Church. I go to God, I want my reward. Well, Ashley hasn't been paying you. Okay, you don't have a house to live in.